Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. For 7 years, OTA has served as a network for the region's creative class, building connections, community, and collision of ideas. As we approach the final event of OTA, that's O-T-A, founder Hugh Weber joins us with a look back and a look ahead. Hugh, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
It's always great to be with you, Lori.
Let's start with this lineup because I'm going to call it eclectic and visionary. Photography, spoken word, podcasting, storytelling, social entrepreneurship, music, and more. What can you tell me about the lineup for the finale? And how did you come up with this particular group of folks?
Well, I think OTA from the beginning has always been about finding world-class talent that is equal to the world-class talent that exists in this region. And so finding those people that are absolutely best of class in what they're doing, they're at the forefront of new and innovative and creative endeavor, but also have a grounding. They're also people that are real and accessible and willing to be part of the conversation. So this lineup, I hate to say it, and I feel like P.T. Barnum, but I think this may be the best lineup we've had out of all 11 events.
It would be hard to top this.
Indeed.
So that's
indeed.
Why it's the and finale, it's, right?
that's right. It's a great place to wrap things up. And I think the event has intentionally been kept small and intimate. There are still tickets available for it, but it's kept smaller so that people will not only have a chance to see people on stage, but also have a chance to talk to them and really, if they choose to, really get to know them. So someone like Sarah Kay, an extraordinary spoken word poet from New York, is one of the most high-demand speakers in the country. She really broke through with a TED Talk on the main stage called Be, and you can find that anywhere the internet serves you. But Sarah's going to spend an hour with us on stage and the better part of a day with us in the community here. And what an extraordinary opportunity to have someone accessible like that. Another that jumps out to me is Eames Demetrius. And Eames, for anyone that knows Ray and Charles Eames, a husband and wife team that did everything from architecture and film to designing very famous chairs for Herman Miller, this is their grandson. And he runs their foundation, but he's also one of the premier storytellers and story creators on the planet, traveling all over the world. And this week, he's going to spend Thursday in Little Milbank, South Dakota, which happens to be my hometown, doing an art installation. One of the installations that he does globally will be, for all time in Milbank. And then he'll spend Saturday morning doing a two-hour workshop on story with anyone that chooses to join us, and some time with me on stage in the afternoon. So this is a rare opportunity, and I think really fulfills what our vision was for this from the beginning of placing South Dakotans and people from this region on equal platforms with extraordinary thinkers from around the planet.
For 7 years, this has to be a personal journey for you as the founder, CEO, all around OTA personality. What have you learned over the last 7 years that you didn't know when you were starting out this venture?
That is a fantastic question. Yeah, it is emotional. My daughter woke me up extra early this morning, thanks to daylight savings time. Mm-hmm. And she came bounding into the room and said, "It's OTA week," which has become kind of part of our lives. And my response, which was more sluggish than melancholy, she said, "Oh, I know, Daddy. It's both happy and sad this time." What I think I've learned is how meaningfully integrated our passions and possibilities can be with our more practical approach to life. I've started to see the people of this region as so much more layered than I did 7 years ago, and certainly more layered than I think they see themselves. And so I think of stories and think of people like Oscar Michaud, who's one of the famous and one of the foundational African-American filmmakers in the country. When he lived in South Dakota, he was simply Farmer Oscar. And I think we do that to our people 100 years later. We say that, that person is an accountant, or that person is runs a retail store on Phillips Avenue. And we lose the nuances and depths and layers of those individuals that are painters and artists and poets and writers and just extraordinary human beings. And so I think if I've learned anything, it's to I don't think I ever underestimated the potential or possibility of the people of this region, but it's to look deeper in those people and help them, if they don't see it themselves, help them find that creativity that's part of their life.
What excites you about the future for creatives in this region?
Yeah, I think what excites me is we, in the last 20 years, we've removed the barriers of distance and geography through technology, through the internet, but we haven't changed the mindset yet. We still see ourselves as being remote and isolated. And what I see is that transitioning. I see people being willing to hop on a plane and spend 2 days in New York and not see it as a once in a life trip, but see it as a part of a thriving creative life that then brings them, kind of boomerang style back to their foundations and their basis here in Sioux Falls and in the broader region. And once that remoteness mindset disappears, I think the world should be prepared for the extraordinary people that live here and that are prepared to change the world. We've seen ourselves on an island, and that island has been gone for a long time, but at some point, at some point in the last couple of years, we've realized that we're no longer remote, that we're as deeply integrated as we would be if we were on the streets of Beijing, China, or in London, and we can live here and enjoy the things we love here about this specific place, and still be part of that broader conversation.
Have you seen the sort of seeds of that appearing when you travel outside the region? Are you seeing people who are from New York or from another metropolitan areas making that connection as well?
Yeah, I think in a couple of ways. I spent this weekend with several hundred young leaders in agriculture, and I was shocked, at the sheer number of South Dakotans that were in the audience. Almost immediately, just at the numbers that were engaged and that had chosen to make the drive. But I also think it's the shift in the subtleties, and I've talked about it on stages before with Oda. When I was outside the region, I lived away, Philadelphia and D.C. for about 10 years. The only descriptor that people offered this region was based around kind of the strength of our backs. There was a lot of, I knew a South Dakotan once. He was a really hard worker. I think he grew up in Bismarck. And it's like, well, those are two different things. there's a subtlety there. But I think what I'm hearing now is people have stories of extraordinary tech companies, and they have stories of emergent and innovative approaches to biofuels and biotech, and they know what's happening in our healthcare industry, and so they have different ways of describing us, and that makes us appear. It makes us competitive, and sometimes it makes us their aspirational goal, which I think is a pretty dramatic cultural shift nationally.
What risks have you taken with Oda over the past 7 years that really paid off, and that you look back and you say, "Yeah, I'm glad I did that."
So in very real terms, those first 3 years when we would announce a lineup, my house was on the line. We used essentially home equity lines and personal lines to get Oda off the ground for those first 3 years. So not only do I not necessarily recommend that for the health of individuals and their marriages and families, but that was a very real risk for us and paid off in real terms in terms of the much broader partnership that we've enjoyed with the Bush Foundation, with organizations like Midco and Avera. These are organizations that I think saw proof of concept and knew the value that it would have to the community. The other thing I'll say is maybe a little more personal in nature, but we chose to invest over this past year in 26 individuals, which was something that wasn't within the scope of our grant. We had to work hard to raise the dollars elsewhere to be able to do so. And we wrote out checks to individuals, to people opening pop-up stores in Milbank and photography in Western North Dakota, people that wanted to start screen printing studios for young people in Rapid City and open music venues here in Sioux Falls. And that return, even now, a year in, has been tenfold of what we invested in it. And I look at that cohort, those couple groups, and claiming no credit for Oda, certainly not for myself, I think 10 years from now we'll look back at those individuals, those 26 people, and the 100-plus that applied as some of the most extraordinary people in this region. These are people that don't get a lot of airtime, aren't with you terribly frequently, but also aren't on Kello and aren't on other media outlets. But these are people that I think will change the region, and already are doing so. And that to me has been a risk. It was reputation and sustainability on the line, but I believe completely that it's been worth it.
We will continue to bring those people in. You keep bringing them to us. You've been listening to Hugh Weber, founder and CEO of OTA. Weekend events begin on the evening of Friday, November 11th. You can find more information online, weareota.com. We'll put a link up on our website after the show. Hugh, thanks so much for being here again.
Thank you. We look forward to talking to you again in the future.